This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abom, good afternoon everyone, Shalom Aleichem. We're continuing our series of Shiurim on Parshas HaShavua. This week, Parshas Toldos. And before we begin, we have very exciting news to share. And that is, the next Sefer in the queue is Ben La'ashri. Let me explain to you what this is. There was a great tzaddik by the name of the tzaddik of Ranana, Rav Yitzchak HaKohen Huberman, who was a great mekubal. He came from Bulgari. He lived in the city of Sachachav. And he wrote Chidushim Nairaim al HaTorah. He never had children. And his svarim were his progeny. He called it Ben La'ashri. And he gives a haftacha that anyone who says over his Devei Torah, he will pray for you and bail you out of any trouble in this world and in the next world. Sounds like a good thing. Anyway, so we're putting together, because his chidushim are very mystical, and there are three volumes, and many of the pieces are not so accessible, we're putting together a one-volume edition of the chidushim that are more shavel chol nefesh. And if anybody would like to be mishtatef in the publication, then that is available. We're almost finished. We have one parsha left. Hopefully we can finish it this week. And then it will go to publication. If anybody wants to participate, that is available. Okay, Parshas Toldos. We have an amazing topic today. Really out of this world. Here we go. We know, Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav kitzayid befiv. Yitzchak loved Esav because the catch was in his mouth. V'rivka oyheves es Yaakov. Rivka loved Yaakov. So apparently, even though Esav was wicked, he was able to fool Yitzchak Avinu. How exactly was he able to do that? How was Esav able to fool Yitzchak? Was Yitzchak, he fell for Esav because of the good food that Esav brought him? What's the meaning of this? You know, even the Arizal, he could look out your forehead and tell you the sins you've done. Certainly Yitzchak was able to do that. So how was Esav able to pull the wool out in front of the eyes of Yitzchak Avinu, that Yitzchak did not recognize the wickedness of Esav? In fact, it seems like Yitzchak valued Esav more than he valued Yaakov. So how do we account for Vayehav Yitzchak es Esav, especially the reason given, Kitzayid Befiv? In other words, number one, how did he fool him? And number two, what exactly is the role of Kitzayid Befiv? Yitzchak loved the meat, Chas V'Sham, so much. And then, on that fateful day, Yitzchak Avinu tells Esav, Ve'ata sana chelecha, carry your vessel, tell yecha v'kashtecha, your bow, and your arrow, v'tzei hasada, and go out to the field, v'tzuda litzayid, and catch for me a catch. By the way, there's a creek sieve there. It's red tzayid, but it's spelled tzeda with a hey. What's that extra hey doing there? V'tzuda li, it's spelled, the sieve is tzeda, but it's red tzayid. What is the meaning of that extra hey? And then Yitzchak Avinu says, "Va'asei li matamim kasher ahavti. Make for me the dish like I love." Sounds a little unusual for Yitzchak Avinu to be so expressive and passionate about the food. Well, make me that food that I love. Just say, you know, make the food. Why is he becoming so connected and attached and descriptive about his relationship with the food? You would not expect Yitzchak Avinu to use a word of love when it comes to food. I mean, I think your rabbi would probably be embarrassed if he told you, by the way, I love cholent. I don't know that even your rabbi would say that. Certainly, Yitzchak Avinu, to use that expression, I love the catch. What is the meaning of it? And then Rivka turns to Yaakov Avinu and he says, Va'ata b'ni, and now my son, Shema b'koili, listen to my voice. La'ashar ani mitzava oisach, to that which I'm going to command you. She's getting very passionate about this request. She should say, Va'ata b'ni, Shema la'ashar ani mitzava oisach. Listen to my voice. What else do you listen to? You can't listen to your nose. You can't listen to anything else. Why the descriptive Shema b'koili? And then again, she says, "Vatoymer lo imai." His mother said to him, "Alai kilalascha bini." The curse will be upon me, my son. Ach Shema b'koili. But listen to my voice. By the way, she's not even asking for such a major thing. She's just saying, "Go into your dad and bring him the food." But why this very descriptive terminology, Shema b'koili, listen to my voice? And then Yaakov Avinu brings in the food to Yitzchak. Vayigash, he approaches. Vayishak lo, he kisses him. Vayarach esreach begadav, he smells the aroma of his garment. Vayivarcheu, and he blesses him. Vayoymer, and he says, Re'ei reach b'ni, see the fragrance, my son, kareach sadeh, like the fragrance of a field, asher berchai Hashem, that God blessed. That when Yaakov Avinu walked in, Yitzchak detected the scent of Yitzchak, which is very unusual. Most of the time when two people meet, the first comment they make is not about how they smell. Imagine you haven't seen somebody for a while. You say, "Wow, you smell very good," or "You smell not so good," or you still smell the same. Imagine if, you know, I came to visit you and the first comment you made was about my smell. That would be strange. That's not the common way to greet somebody, to make comments about how they smell. So why is Yitzchak commenting on the smell of Yaakov Avinu? In fact, Rashi points out, there's nothing that smells worse than the smell of goat hair. Elamalame, this comes to teach, shenichnasa imay reach Gan Eden, that the scent of Gan Eden entered with Yaakov Avinu. Why did the scent of Gan Eden enter with Yaakov Avinu? Is that what Yaakov Avinu always smelled like? If it is, so then what was special about today? Why the reference to the smell of Gan Eden entering with Yaakov Avinu? What is the meaning of that? Now, we know that when Esav then walked in, Vayecherahad Yitzchak Haradah Gedoilad Me'oid Vayoymer Mi'efoy Hu Atzot Sayid Vayoveli Va'oichal Mikol B'terem Tavoy Va'avarecheyu Gam Baruch Yiyah. Yitzchak was very frightened. Very frightened. Charado gedola, great trembling. Ad ma'oid, very, very much. And he said, "Who then is the one who caught the catch and brought it to me and I ate everything before you came and I blessed him?" Why was Yitzchak very afraid? Says Rashi. He saw Gehenim open beneath him. By the way, that's a good reason to be afraid. If you're walking down the street and you see the purgatory beneath your feet, that's a good reason to be afraid. I would say in general, don't be afraid. You should have confidence. You should have peace of mind. You should have tranquility. Unless you're walking down the street and you see the abyss and the purgatory open up, that would be a valid reason to be afraid. Just pointing out. But why did Yitzchak see Gehenim open up in front of him? Esav is coming to bring his father food. Why did Yitzchak see Gehenim? Yitzchak didn't live in Gehenim. He lived in the land of Israel. So what is the meaning of all of this? Number one, why did Yitzchak love Esav? How did Esav fool Yitzchak? Number two, why was Yitzchak so into the tzayid? Number three, why did Yitzchak say, "I love the food you bring me"? Number four, why is Rivka so passionate? Listen to my voice. Number five, why did the smell of Gan Eden enter with Yaakov Avinu? And number six, why did Gehenim enter with Esav HaRasha? The Targum says, why did Yitzchak love Esav? Urechem Yitzchak Yas Esav Arei Mitzedei Hava Achel. He ate from his catch. Says Ibn Ezra, an amazing commentary to explain why Yitzchak loved Esav. You see, you have to understand, By the way, the Ibn Ezra was one of the great Rishonim. The Kotzker once commented on the Ibn Ezra, "I don't know how it's possible for a human being to have such broad shoulders to carry so much Yirah Shamayim." Ibn Ezra was one of the great commentaries on the Chumash. He was a very poor person. Whatever venture he got involved in was unsuccessful, and he would say that if he would sell candles, the sun would never set. If he would sell burial shrouds, nobody would ever die. Anyway, so he didn't feel he had good mazel. And he says the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav is because Yitzchak was very poor. And the proof is, that's why Esav despised the birthright. He figured, what value does the birthright have? My dad doesn't have any assets. And the proof is, Esav sold the birthright for a pot of beans and some bread because there was no food in the house. And Yaakov Avinu did not have begadim chamudais because the family could not buy Yaakov a decent suit. And when Yaakov left his parents' home, you don't find that they gave him any money because they had no money. And that's what Yaakov said, V'nasan li lechem lechal ubeged lilboish. I, Yitzchak, inherited a big estate from Avram, says Ibn Ezra. Many Mefarshim don't like this, but it seemed like Yitzchak squandered the Yerusha. Maybe he wasn't able to maintain it, he was blind. So says Ibn Ezra, the reason why Yitzchak loved Esav is because Esav fed Yitzchak and Yitzchak had no money. So when you're poor and you're downtrodden and you have nothing to eat and your oldest son cooks you good meals, so that's a good reason to love him. They didn't have assets, they didn't have an estate, they didn't have money, they didn't have food, they didn't have clothing. And Esav provided for his father, so therefore his father loved him. And the Ramban rejects that. The Ramban says this is not possible, that Yitzchak was poor and that he loved his son because his son brought him food. And the Ramban explains that Esav flattered his father to bring him good food. And the reason why Yitzchak loved him and he asked him to bring him the food before he would die is because there's an idea that it's not that the tzaddik loves the food, but in order that the soul of the tzaddik should be connected to the soul of Esav and he should be in the proper state of mind and the proper frame of mind to be besimcha and to be in an elevated state to give the proper brachos, is we know that there's certain physical phenomena that elicit good mood and happy, upbeat perspective. The same way Nevi'im, before they would prophesy, they would take a musician, V'ata k'chuli menagein, V'hoya k'nagein ha-menagein, V'atahi alav yad Hashem. So too Yitzchak asked Esav to bring him food so that it would put him in an elevated state to be able to give him a proper bracha. If you look in the Reb Tzadik HaKohen, Reb Tzadik HaKohen explains this even further, that when Yitzchak said, make me the matamim that I love, it's not that he loved the food, it's that the food put him in a upbeat state of mind to be able to cleave his soul to that of Esav to give him a bracha. But Reb Tzadik HaKohen in the Pri Tzadik on Parshas Toldos explains this even deeper. He says, did Yitzchak really love Esav because of the food he brought him? Think about it. Yitzchak tells Esav, V'tsudalit soyed, catch for me a catch. Catch for me venison, deer. And Rivka tells Yaakov, prepare for me goat. Now, I don't know about you. I've never eaten venison in my life, and I don't need to. I don't feel like I'm missing anything else, anything in life. I feel that I have everything I need. And having beef and whatever other types of meat that are available, I feel that my life is complete. I don't need deer. But I would assume that if I would eat deer and I would know what deer tastes like and someone brought me a goat, I would be able to tell the difference. I could tell the difference between meat and chicken, and I'm not such a foodie, as they call it. I'm not so into food, but I could tell the difference between meat and chicken, and I assume anyone could tell the difference between deer and goat. So obviously Yitzchak, how could you say he loved Esau's food so much if when Yaakov brought him goat, he couldn't tell the difference? But the explanation is that says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, that he didn't want the food because it was delicious to him, but he wanted the food for a different reason, and there's an amazing lumdus behind it. Listen to this. Says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, we know that the Mishnah tells us in Kedushin, Ha'ish mekadesh boy ubeshulchai, a man could get married through him and his shliach. A woman could be miskadeshes, ba uveshlucha, through her and her shliach. So the Gemara asks, hashta veshluchai mekadesh boi mi boi. Once we know you could get married through an agent, do we need to say you could do it yourself? Once we know she could get married through an agent, do we need to say you could do it yourself? Says the Gemara, mitzvah boi yoyser mi beshluchai. It's a mitzvah for him to get married by himself more than his shliach. So, and the Gemara asked, once we know that a woman can get married through a shliach, why do I need to say she could do it herself? Mitzvah ba yoyser mi b'shulcha. It's a mitzvah for her to do it herself more than to do it through a shliach. Ask the Ran, what do you mean it's a mitzvah for her to do it herself? There's no mitzvah for a woman to get married. I understand that if it's a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to do it yourself more than for somebody else to do it for you. A man has a chiv to get married. Why? The mitzvah pruravu. So therefore, it's a mitzvah for him to get married through his own actions than to appoint an agent. I understand we could apply the rule, mitzvah boy yoyser mi b'shulchai. But there is no mitzvah for a woman to get married. A woman has no obligation to get married. So what? Why will we say mitzvah ba yoyser mi b'shulcha? So the Ran says something very interesting. A woman does have a mitzvah to get married. It is a mitzvah for a woman to get married. What's the mitzvah? Because since it takes two to tango, and he can't get married without her, so she is misayeya lidei oisei mitzvah. She's assisting him. So the mitzvah is on him. What mitzvah does she have? She assists him. So the same way for him, mitzvah ba yoisa mi b'shulchai, mitzvah ba yoisa mi b'shulcha. So therefore, says Reb Tzadok HaKohen, from here we learn that when you're an assistant to do a mitzvah, it's a mitzvah for you. It's a mitzvah for you to enable and to facilitate someone else to do a mitzvah. When Esav served his father, he was fulfilling Kibbud Av V'Em on a very, very high level. In fact, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, my whole life I would serve my father, and I didn't serve him 1/100th of the way Esav served his father. When I would serve my father, I would serve him in regular begadim, in my street clothing. Sometimes they were soiled, sometimes they were dirty. But when Esav served his father, he would wear a special big day malchus. He would say, "Ein kavoidoi shal aba liois meshamshoi ela b'big day malchus." Esav would put on big day malchus to serve his father. So, by the way, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says that it's not that Reb Shimon Gamliel was praising Esav and downgrading himself, because the truth is, we know that it's what is a greater obligation, to honor your Rebbe or to honor your father? So kibud rabbi comes before kibud aviv, because your father brings you into this world and your Rebbe brings you into the world to come. However, for the Gentiles, they value this world more. So for them, honoring your father is more valuable than honoring your Rebbe. But in any event, Esav honored his father on a very, very high level. Now, Yitzchak, on the other hand, by allowing his son to serve him, he was also mekayim a very great mitzvah. You know what the mitzvah is? The same way it's a mitzvah for a woman to get married because she's facilitating the mitzvah of the man, it's a mitzvah for a father to accept the food of his son because he's facilitating the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Therefore, Yitzchak Avinu, he wanted to be mekayim, the great mitzvah of facilitating kibud av v'aim. She was facilitating his son, honoring him. So whenever Yitzchak Avinu took the food of his son, he was margish in the achila, the holiness of a sudas mitzvah. He felt whenever he would eat his son's food, since his son was being mekayim kibud av v'aim on such a high level, so he was enabling and facilitating the kibud av v'aim of his son. So it's like he was eating at a sudas mitzvah. What was the sudas mitzvah? The sudas mitzvah was the mitzvah his son was doing that he was facilitating. Therefore, it says v'tzudalit sayid with an extra hey. The extra hey implies and references extra kedusha, just like we find in last week. Hashem took an vav out of Ephraim because he had a. He gave it ba'ayin ra, and he was stingy. So to hear, v'tzudalit sayid, Yitzchak would experience the extra kedusha in eating the food of Esav, because since Esav was doing a mitzvah, and Yitzchak was facilitating it, the lashon of Reb Tzadok HaKohen is, ma'yamargish ba'achilasoi kedusha sudas mitzvah. He felt in his eating the sanctity of a meal of a mitzvah, that he was being mesayeya to mekayim the mitzvah of kibud av. Now, here's the problem. Every time when Esav would bring Yitzchak food, Yitzchak loved it. He loved the food. Because in the food, he tastes sudas mitzvah. Because he was participating and facilitating the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. Now Yitzchak couldn't tell the difference between goat meat and deer meat and venison. But he did taste the kibud av v'aim in the food. So therefore, Rivka Imenu implores Yaakov Avinu, V'ata b'ni, shema b'koili, listen to my voice. Now, I'm facilitating you to mekayim kibud aim. This way, when you serve the food to Yitzchak, he won't be able to tell the difference between the food that tastes like kibud av and kibud aim. He can't tell the difference between deer and goat. Maybe he could tell the difference between different mitzvahs, but kibud av and kibud aim are close enough that he will not be able to tell the difference. Therefore, she implores him, Shema b'koili, listen to my voice that I'm commanding you. Being b'kayim kibud aim, and then your father will love the food also. By the way, Reb Tzadok HaKohen says, the minhag in Klal Yisrael, among those who love Torah and want their children to be Tamei Chachamim, that they support their children in learning so that they'll be able to learn after the chasana. Why? He says the reason for that is like this. Because when the parents are supporting their children, they're mekayim the mitzvah of hachzakas ha-Torah. Then when the children are receiving it, they are mesayeya the parents. The children, by eating the food, are mekayim the mitzvah that they're helping their parents support Torah. So now all the food that the children are eating when they get married are sudas mitzvah. And then that will give them the right foundation for the rest of their lives. Like the Ran says, that when you're mesayeh al yidei mitzvah, that's a mitzvah. So therefore, the children, by eating the food of their parents who are supporting Torah, are being mekayim, the mitzvah of mesayeh al yidei oisei mitzvah. Therefore, their whole life will be built on the sanctified foundation of their mitzvah of facilitating their parents, supporting Torah. I once heard from Rav Shimon Schwab that how is it possible for a Rebbe or a Magid Shir to get Olam Haba? How is it possible to get Olam Haba? Because since they're doing it publicly, So there's recognition and maybe some kavod. So all the Torah is with ulterior motive. It's not pure. So Schwab says, you're right. It's really impossible. But the people who are learning, they're learning lishma, because they're not getting recognition. And the Rebbe facilitated it. So the schar of the Rebbe is that he's misayeya, the mitzvah of the participants. How's that for a twist? Yeah? That's an interesting twist. But that's the svara of Reb Tzadok HaKohen, that Yitzchak loved the food of Esav because in it he tasted the mitzvah that he was doing of being misayeya lidei oisei mitzvah. But I want to share with you another nekuda over here. We know, we say there's a Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek. If I was writing it, it should have said, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek bi'olam haba. Every Jew has a chelek in the world to come. But that's not what it says. It says, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek la'olam haba, to the world to come. What's the meaning of that? Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. There's an amazing teaching of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Chaim Volozhiner teaches in the Ruach Chaim, something out of this world. Here, I made it big for you. Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba. Says Reb Chaim Volozhiner, hinei yadua, it is known, ki be'eis yale al rayonai ish lasos mitzvah, when it enters a person's mind to do a mitzvah, as soon as it enters your mind to do a mitzvah, nase rishumai lamala, then the imprint will be made above. Umis oirer alav. When you think to do a mitzvah, it creates a imprint in heaven. There's a commotion that takes place in the shamayim. It has an impact on the heavens. And you know what happens? Umis oirer alav armakif meha kedusha. And it arouses in a light of sanctity that encircles you. And it shields you in its pinion. And a person is in this great light. As soon as you have in mind to do a mitzvah, you are encircled in a great light, and that great light will support you and assist you to complete the mitzvah. It will be an assistance and a support to complete the mitzvah. Because you are literally sitting in the Garden of Eden in paradise, mamish makom kadosh. You hear this? When you have the hisayrus to do a mitzvah, then it makes an impact on heaven, and an encircling light encircles you, and it protects you, and a person is in it, and it will support you and assist you to complete the mitzvah. And the hakadusha malbashtai, it dons you in holiness. And then, when you complete the mitzvah of al yidei gemara mitzvah, when you complete the mitzvah, yoiser mischazek halavush, the lavush strengthens further, umeir, and it illuminates, the ha'ar mistalek, and then that light departs. Where does it go? Legan Eden, v'zeu scharoi, that's your reward. In other words, when you think to do a mitzvah, you're encircled in light, that light will assist you to complete it. And then, because that light makes it as if you're mamish sitting in Gan Eden, and that light will be strengthened by completing the mitzvah, and then that completed light will be your schar in the world to come. The same thing, Rachmana Letzlan, by doing an Avera. When you think to do an Avera, you're encircled in the purgatory, in the abyss. And then, after you complete the Avera, that purgatory, that abyss, is sequestered and put away for you for your punishment. That is the meaning when Chazal say that when you do a mitzvah, the reach of Gan Eden enters with you in your lifetime. And there's no way for the Yetzer Hara to rule over you. By the way, there's no better way to save yourself from sin than by doing a mitzvah. If you have a desire to sin, the best thing you could do is do a mitzvah. When you think to do the mitzvah, you'll be encircled in light. And once you do the mitzvah, then that light is strengthened, and it's like you're literally in Gan Eden in this world, and once you're in the Garden of Eden in this world, how could you possibly sin? This is the meaning of mitzvah goyreres mitzvah, the or makif that encircles you and puts you and places you in paradise, makes it that it's easier now to do more mitzvahs. But just the opposite, chas v'sham, when you do an avera, then you're immediately surrounded in the abyss, in the purgatory, and it will lead you to even more averas. The Nefesh HaChaim in the Shar Aleph says this is what it means. You sanctified us with your mitzvahs. Because once the thought to do a mitzvah enters your mind, it makes an impact in heaven, and from there it draws an armakif, and this Kedusha Elyoina is Choyfefes Olav. By the way, the Nefesh HaChaim continues, beautiful words. He says, the Al Yedei Zeh HaKedusha Bar Makif, through this holiness and surrounding light, you cleave to the Almighty even in your lifetime. Like it says, you cling to God even in this world, even when you're chayim. This armakif will help you finish the mitzvah. And by finishing it, the light strengthens more, and elevates you on high. This is the process of Habolatar Messiahinoisai. Vegam Moshechas Vegoreresas Liboy Mizeh. It also draws your heart. Lesagel Oid Kama Mitzvahs. To gather more Mitzvahs. Achashu Yoshiv Ata Vegan Eden Mamish. Because you are sitting Mamish in the Garden of Eden in this world. Choyse Betzel Kanvek Dusha. Taking refuge, and protection in the wings of sanctity. Beseser Elyon. In the concealment on high. There's no place for the evil inclination to rule over you. And to seduce you. This is what it means. Mitzvah goyreres mitzvah. And when a person thinks, at the time he does a mitzvah, he will have a feeling. When you take to heart what's taking place when you do a mitzvah, you'll realize you're encircled and cloaked in Kedusha and a spirit of Nachayin, Ruach Nachayin will be Neschadish Bekerbay. This is what it means, Ashayasa Oysam Adam V'chay Bohem. You live in the surrounding atmosphere of the mitzvah. And likewise, when you do an Avera, you're literally in the purgatory. And I think most people, even though you'll say, really? I don't feel when I'm doing a mitzvah that I'm in the Garden of Eden. Or I don't feel that when I'm doing an Avera, I'm in the purgatory. I'm in the abyss. I think most people would say, you know, there have been mitzvahs and good deeds I've done in my life that I literally feel like I'm in paradise. I feel the sanctity of Hashem. And I'm sure we've done things in our life that we're ashamed of, that while we're doing it, we say, you know what? This is not reminiscent of the purgatory. We are now in the purgatory. And this is a reality, a phenomenon, that when a person does a mitzvah, he's surrounded in armakif, and that armakif is the beginning of the Or Zarua La Tzaddik. That's the light that is sown and planted for the Tzaddik that he will reap from La Asid Lavai. It's not that, oh, you do a mitzvah? Here Hashem says, I have my handy tickets on the table. Here's a ticket. You'll cash in the ticket after 120. Make sure you hold on to that ticket. No, when you do a mitzvah, you are encircled in the Or Makif, which is your reward, which will come back to you La Asid Lavai. So says Rabbi Aaron David Goldberg, the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells, in his commentary to the Nefesh HaChaim, when Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu smelled the Reach Begadim, even though Ein Reach Ra Yoisim Yishetef O'izim, how did he smell the Reach Gan Eden? The answer is, when Yaakov Avinu is Mekayim, the mitzvah of Kibud Avaim, he was surrounded in the Armakif, he was literally in Gan Eden. clinging to Hashem, and Yaakov Avinu smelled it. He said, "Vayar rei reach bni kareach hasada sheberach Hashem nichnasa imay reach gan Eden." So the question is, so then why, when Esav walked into the room, and Vayecherad Yitzchak Charadah Gedaylan Moid Vayomer Mieifa, Rashi says the Reach Gehenim walked in with him. Did Gehenim always walk in with Esav? I thought Esav was proficient in Kibbun Avaim. And the answer is, and this gives us a better understanding of how Esav fooled Yaakov Avinu. You know how Esav fooled Yaakov Avinu? Very simply. Let me tell you a story about the Imrei Emes. The Imrei Emes was once thinking about a certain Rasha, and he thought he was a tzaddik. And the Hasidim said, "What? That Pliny? You think he's a tzaddik? He's a moiser." And the Imrei Emes said, "I see him as a tzaddik." Turns out, when the Imrei Emes was thinking about him, I'm sorry, the Imrei Emes writes this about the Chayz of Lublin. Turns out, when the Chayz of Lublin was thinking about this moiser, he was in the middle of lighting Ner Chanukah. And therefore, since he was in the middle of doing the mitzvah, he was encircled with an armakif, and he was literally in Gan Eden. Now we understand more fully how Esav fooled Yitzchak. You ready for this? Every time Yitzchak encountered Esav, Esav was involved in the highest form of the fulfillment of Kibbud Av V'Em. By doing so, he was encircled in a Or Makif, an encompassing light. Literally, the Garden of Eden came down and cloaked Esav in an atmosphere of the Garden of Eden. So Esav sees, Yitzchak sees Esav, and he's always cloaked in this Or Makif, in literally paradise. So Yitzchak says he's a great tzaddik. Perhaps Esav was even cloaked in this paradise more than Yaakov was, as Esav excelled in the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em. Now certainly Yaakov Avinu excelled in learning, and when he was learning, he was encircled in that Or Makif. But in terms of Yitzchak's encounter with them, his encounter with Esav was when Esav was being Mekayim Kibbud Av V'Em. And when you're Mekayim a mitzvah, you're encircled in an Or Makif, and that Or Makif is literally the beginnings of Gan Eden, and your metuvach in the paradise of the Garden of Eden. And therefore, Yitzchak was fooled by this cloak, this veneer of Gan Eden that in reality encircled Esav. But on that great day, when Yaakov Avinu brought in the food, Yaakov Avinu was fulfilling the bidding of his mother. Yaakov Avinu smelled Gan Eden. So why did he smell the purgatory when Esav walked in? Why? Vayecharad Yitzchak charado gedoy la'ad ma'oid. Well, do you know what the Medrash says? The Medrash says that on that day, look at number 21 on your sheet. The Medrash says, Reb Lezer ben Oish Rabbi Yossi Amar, Mahu la yacharich. La yarech haKadosh Baruch Hu la ramay letzedai. Amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi kol oisei ayom hoya Esav tzad tzvam. He would catch deer all day, v'kayvdan, and tie them up. Umalach ba'omatiron, and the angel came and untied them. V'oifois, and the birds umasachsachan. Umalach ba'omafrichan. Esav caught birds and the malach let them go free. And Esav was being delayed because he was trying to catch one deer after another, and every deer he caught was freed by the malach. So says Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, V'akev meimra d'Hashem minei tzeda d'achya, God's word prevented him from catching pure catch. V'ashkach kalba achada, he found a dog. V'katle, he killed it. Now what kind of dish was Esav going to prepare for Yaakov with a dog? Mastama, a hot dog. So he put some mustard on it, and some sauerkraut, some relish, and he was coming with a kelev. Oh, that's not Kibbud Av V'Em. He's coming to be machshel his father in achilas tarfos. So now for the first time, the veneer is off. The armakif is not there. He's not metuvach v'gan Eden. Now Yitzchak, for the first time in his life, has an unadulterated, raw view of Esav, and he doesn't like what he sees. And he sees the purgatory coming in with him. That's the nightmare of Esav. Esav's nightmare was, instead of catching a deer, he caught a dog. The Sefer Raptuni Batapuchen, the brother of Usher Arieli, this was sent to me by Rav Avram Shor, sent me an email with this Maramakim. Of Rapduni B'tapuchim, that Esav was fooled, Yitzchak was fooled on every other day because Esav would bring him the catch, and by doing so he's Mekayim Kibud Avayim, and therefore he was encircled with the Armakif, and the Armakif fooled fooled Yitzchak, but not on this day. On this day he's bringing him a dog. Boy, was that some hot dog that Yitzchak was being served by Esav. Anyway, by the way, just to give you a little flavor, you know, Reb Tzalik HaKohen writes in Rasisei Laila that when a person puts on tzitzis and he's wrapped in his tzitzis and he's encircled in an armakif, even the angels can't recognize you. That's how we daven. We daven in a talis. When we daven with a talis, we're encircled in the armakif and even the angels can't recognize us. So this is a very powerful idea. That when a person does a mitzvah, he's encircled in a surrounding light, and that surrounding light assists him to complete the mitzvah and strengthens the light, and that light was stowed away for him for the world to come. I want to share with you a magnificent observation of Reb Shlomo Volba in the opening of Maseilas Yesharim. Maseilas Yesharim, of course, is like the most foundational lima that a person could be involved in, and certainly the first parak. And who is not familiar with these words of Maseilas Yesharim? Yesoid hachasidus, the foundation of piety, v'shoyresh ha'avodah tmima, the root of wholesome service. Who is sheyisbar v'yisami se'itzal adam, it should be clear and true to a person. What is a person's chiv in this world? What do you, should you put your focus in your aspirations? In everything you toil for your whole life. What our sages have taught us is that man was commanded only to delight in God. And to derive benefit from the splendor of Hashem Shechina. Shezehu hatainug ho'amiti. This is the true delight. V'ho'idun hagadol. And the great pleasure. Mikol ho'idunim. From all the pleasures and delights. Sheichalam lihimatzai. So look carefully what the Maseilas Yesharim says. The Maseilas Yesharim says, lehis'aneg al Hashem. To take joy in cleaving to God is tainug ho'amiti, the true joy, v'ha'idun hagadol, and the great delight. Now, what do you mean the true joy? What do you mean the true joy? If there's one thing in this world that you would say is subjective and not objective, it's joy. Some people like wine. Some people can't stand it. Some people like olives. Some people don't like it. Some people like chocolate. Some people like vanilla. Now, I think people who like vanilla are wrong. They're dead wrong. They just don't understand. So to me, chocolate is objective pleasure. Also between Coke and Pepsi. There's one that is clearly better than the other. But I'm not going to say which one. I'm still waiting for one of them to be a sponsor of the Shiurim. Then we could give it to that. No, I'm joking. So you can't say there's objective pleasure. There's objective pleasure. Tam v'reach, ein l'hisvakeach. No. We're learning now, there's objective pleasure. The objectively greatest pleasure is cleaving to Hashem. It's tainug ho'amiti, the true joy, as opposed to counterfeit joy. V'idon agadon, the greatest delight. Now, where do you get it? says the Masil Sisharim, Umakoyim ha'idon hazeh, the place of this idun, be'emes, in truth, hu ha'olam haba, is the world to come. Masil Sisharim left something out. He says the place of this idun is in truth the world to come. Okay, but the Masil Sisharim said that cleaving to Hashem is not just idun hagadol, it's also tanug ha'amiti. So where is the place of tanug ha'amiti? I know where the place of cleaving to Hashem is tanug ha'amiti, the true joy, and the idun hagadol. The Masil Sisharim says the place of this idun is in the world to come. But where is the place of the tainug? Says Rav Volba, from here we see the place of the tainug is in this world. Really? Where? The answer is, when you learn Torah, and you daven, and you do chesed, and you do mitzvahs, and you think about Hashem's chesed, and you have Yirah Shamayim, and you perform the mitzvahs, you're encircled in an armakif. As soon as you think to do a mitzvah, you're encircled in an armakif. And that armakif will assist you to complete the mitzvah. That is the tainug ha'amiti. It's not only in the world to come, it's in this world. It's in this world. Mitzvahs are joyful in this world. You don't have to wait. The pleasure from it, you'll have to wait for the world to come. The joy from it, you get even to an extent in this world. Maybe our senses, our spiritual faculties are a little bit dulled because they're covered in the body. The same way when you stick your hand in an oven, it's going to, chas v'sham, be very hot. But if you're wearing an oven mitt, your hand will be warmed, but it won't experience the full heat. So too in this world, you won't experience the full tainug of doing a mitzvah because you're coated in a mitt, you're coated in your body, but you will be warmed by doing the mitzvah. And Rav Volba goes on to enumerate different mitzvahs that are more apt to allowing a person to experience the tainug of the mitzvah, whether it's Talmud Torah, which is a shashuim, sometimes even tefillah. Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Nefesh HaChaim about tefillah, to serve Hashem with all your heart. He says that tefillah, he writes in the Shar Beis, is lehis'aneg al Hashem levad b'teivos ha'tefillah, to be joyous, to enjoy Hashem's presence through the words of prayer. Or on Shabbos, the Neshama Yisera, these are all ways to tap in a little bit to the tainug of a mitzvah. However, what we're learning is, there is something happens, my dear friends, when you do a mitzvah. Don't think when you do a mitzvah, okay, Hashem says, here's a ticket. You see the ticket? You're going to put it in your pocket, and after 120, you'll cash it in. No, when you think to do a mitzvah, you're immediately encircled in a light. That light is literally the light of Gan Eden. That light helps you complete the mitzvah. It strengthens the light to the extent that you're actually living and surrounded in the atmosphere of Gan Eden. And on that fateful day when Yaakov Avinu came into Yitzchak Avinu, he said, Re'ei re'ach b'ni k're'ach sadeh asher berach Hashem. Yaakov Avinu was encircled in, says Rabbi Aaron David Goldberg, in the light of Gan Eden because he was involved in, immersed in doing a mitzvah. And typically it was that armakif that fooled Yitzchak into thinking that Esav was a tzaddik because it covered him. The same way when we wear a talis, the angels don't see who we are. Whenever Yitzchak encountered Esav was involved in doing the mitzvah of Kibbud Av V'Em, and it created an armakif that fooled Yitzchak Avinu. But on that fateful day, he couldn't catch the deer. Every deer he caught, the angels freed. All he caught was one lousy dog. And he prepared what he thought would be a delicious frankfurter for his father. But his guise has been discovered. The veneer is off. And now Yitzchak sees the unadulterated wickedness of Esav in all its glory. Vayecherad Yitzchak charado gedoy la'ad ma'oid. He saw Ra peschoy shel gehenim psucha mitachtav. That was the abyss and the purgatory that was coming with Esav. Because when you come to do an Aveira, you are immediately in the gehenim. Marv Rabbeisai. So this is a beautiful approach to understand this subject in Parshas Toldos. And I wish you all a lot of bracha v'atzlacha. And please join us. You can join us tonight at 9:15, Masechta Nedarim, Daf Hei Amud Aleph. You can join us every morning at 9 a.m. for Mishnah Berurah. Have a great rest of the day. Bracha v'atzlacha.
Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.